come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, or if this is the first time that you've joined us,
hello. Welcome.
Every Saturday night, we watch a movie, and then we'd sit around the bar, crack open a few beers. We crap beers.
we crap out a few things.
Either we crap open some beers, or we drink beer and crap our pants. Who knows?
Sometimes we watch crap and drink beer.
That's right. Every Saturday. So, hey, you can do us a great big favor by going over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. And giving us a like or write us a comment. We'll read your comment on the air later in Igor's mailbag, the segment of our show where we read the mail. So these are the... I know, this is... yeah. So who are we? We're going around the table.
Holly.
Sean.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And every week we watch a movie that's chosen round robin by one of the Saturday Night Freak Show luminaries. And tonight it was chosen by Sean.
Mm-hmm.
What did we watch?
1987 Street Trash.
You know who directed this movie?
Jim Murrow.
You know who he is, Jim Murrow?
He is, he directs stuff, but he's also a cinematographer.
Yeah.
And a camera operator on tons of stuff.
Yeah. Friday the 13th, part 8, Steadicam operator.
Wow, the worst one.
yeah.
He also did this?
Like Terminator 2. I mean, like, he did like.
He did Steadicam on this, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised.
But Titanic, X-Men, TV shows.
Yeah,
Razor. Trashy movies.
Everything.
Like, a lot of people start.
Yeah, that's where everybody gets their start. Brian Singer was a grip on this movie.
Yeah.
On Street Trash.
Was this like. So this was Murrow's first movie, I assume, yeah?
Yes.
No. Was it the only thing he directed?
No. He directed.
Yeah,
he directed like 8 other movies, but okay. Nothing.
All right,
or no, not even other movies. Like maybe one other movie and mostly television.
Yeah,
like the Rush Hour TV series, Longmire and whatnot.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. So he's still going.
I mean, wow, that there was a Rush Hour.
yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, and there was. It's no longer with us. May rest in peace.
Yeah. So this is so how'd you first hear of this movie? Because we're coming to understand that there is a cult following for Street Trash.
Yes, I mean, otherwise, why would they give it a special edition Blu-ray release? No, my buddy I work with, David, he in the middle of the day looked over me and said very calmly, "Hey, have you seen Street Trash?" And I was like, "No, I have not. I have not heard of this." And he's like, "All right." And then he showed me the trailer, and I was like, "I have to see this now." And I'm sure it's my next pick. Because, and how it is described on IMDb is a bunch of bums drink expired booze and melt in the streets.
This is what I've heard about this movie all of these years.
Dude, I've grown up in the horror section. I mean, it's been sitting there, right? A guy melting in a toilet, and you're like, the fuck? There's like, this cannot be good. It just can't be. Just based on, like, I consider myself a kind of a trauma fan. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a huge trauma fan because I only like their first, like, 3-4 films, really, but
which were also from this era, 87, 85, yeah. 87, or whatever.
So when I read about this back in the day, it's like, fuck, I just can't even bring myself. It's like, it doesn't sound horrifying. It just sounds like, bums, drink, booze, whatever. You know?
See, based on that synopsis, I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, exactly.
But have you seen The Stuff? Have you seen? It's like so many movies.
That's what I keep thinking about, The Stuff.
Because
and this,
The Stuff has a bunch of people melting on the cover. Because
they drink or they eat the like yogurt, alien yogurt
Right,
or whatever.
Right.
Whatever, fuck, I don't even say what it is. It just comes out of the ground.
Well, this is like a distinctly like New York brand of, I guess the other thing that I always heard of Street Trash, aside from, you know, that it was a gore film. Like, this is one of the, like, extreme gore movies of the mid to late 80s.
And they lied.
Well, there's a little disappointment that you're hearing in our voices, folks, because as we get to talking about this, it's like the setup, what we were sold on this movie is not necessarily the movie that we got.
Right.
No.
The meat's a little brown around the edges of this movie.
Yeah. There are some, I don't know, would you call them extreme gore effects? Maybe we should talk about the gore first, because that is probably the highlight of the movie.
There's really only, like, one main... I mean, the reason the fucking toilet melting guy's on the cover is because that's your main, like, special effect.
Right, and it's your introduction, like, to what happens when you drink the booze.
I'm sorry, what's the lady that did the special effects?
Her
name is Jennifer Anisol or something. To be honest with you, I had never heard her name prior.
Jennifer Aspinall.
Aspinall, yeah. But apparently now she does, like, you know, makeup for, like, Mad TV and Saturday Night Live and, you know.
That's why I never went to Tom Savini School of Makeup Effects, because it's like, let's see, it's like 1997 or something. Like, everything's going computer.
Right,
if you go to school to do makeup, you're going to be doing makeup. You're going to be doing eyeliner, bullshit.
But black, I think, eyes. Because of this, she was, like, a star in, like, the Fangoria, for the Fangoria crowd for a period of time. Because she'd also worked on the original Toxic Avenger. Mm. So she's one of the, I mean, it's interesting. She's one of the only that I know of, like, females who do in the industry, who do, you know, like, the prosthetic gore makeup and stuff like that, who is, you know, of any note.
At least to a, and of any note to a major degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I suppose the two major scenes was the first bum that dies in the toilet and our final bad guy getting his, like, head blown off or whatever.
Well, there's also, like, the, what's his name, Wheezy, who drinks it and melts against the wall.
Yeah.
And then the fat guy, Hefty.
Yeah, which, explodes.
Explodes.
Yeah, but that was even, like, it was like, come on, if you've seen Monty Python's Meaning of Life, it's like, I've seen an exploding guy a little bit better, even, you know, not that, you know, I mean, of course, Monty Python, I'm sure, had more money, but.
Mm. It seems like what makes this distinct visually, like, whenever I've seen, like, a screen grab or whatever from Street Trash, is that it's not so much, it's gory and oozy and pussy and, you know, all this, but it's not bloody. Like, they don't really
multicolored.
They bleed, like, neon blue or yellow or, you know,
each
purple.
Each one is a different color for some reason. Yeah. And it's like,
reds,
it's oranges, like goopy, right, like there's like ooze. It's not blood,
like,
at all.
I mean, that's like the trauma thing, right? Like, to have like a blotter or whatever that can, like, expand. You have, like, Alka-Seltzer or some sort of thing that can, like, ooze out and look like it's fizzy, and you just do that a lot. You just have a lot out of people's ears and, like, have tubes running.
Yeah, tubes run up to the hairline, like, have it squirting out of there, out of the shoes and everything.
The best special effect in the world for all you independent filmmakers is just dropping Jello down your pant leg. I'm looking at the fucking shoes like, oh, my God, I'm melting so much if you can only look up here. Which, has anybody seen The Incredible Melting Man?
Yeah, long time ago. There was Rick Baker, I think, like, early on did that.
That seems like that would be the ultimate, like, melting, like, that sort of special effect of the 80s.
Right, yeah.
I know I've seen it once, but I don't fucking remember it.
Yeah, it's not a very good movie. Like, guy comes back from space and then slowly melts over the course of the movie. But, I mean, like, a good one, you know, you think of, like, Fright Night or something, where, you know, the guy melts on the stairs. You know?
For sure. Yeah. This is wonderful. Really good editing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they do some kind of, I call it the Wolfman editing, right? We're like, we're at this stage. Oh, now we're already over here.
This movie was experimental at best.
Yeah, well, that's what's so weird about this fucking movie. I have no facts about, like, I think this was funded by the mob, because the production value is pretty good. Cameras look really good.
Lots of steady cam. Lots of steady cam.
Yeah, but everything else around that is like a trauma movie. You know, the type of acting,
sound. Like, non-acting, basically. Yeah. Right. I mean, I seriously thought in this movie that they had hired a cast of real bums.
Oh, my God.
Like, you could tell me, like, I don't even want to know if they were actors. That's what I'm going to my grave thinking. Oh, they hired real bums for most of the supporting cast of this movie.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. Just based on the teeth.
Yeah.
Just basing that on the teeth.
Yeah, right?
Or the loss of limbs or whatever.
Yeah.
You got.
Oh, yeah, because just the guy with no hands at the beginning of the movie smoking.
Yeah. Yeah,
the guy with no legs in the store.
Ride it, baby.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's like, what's this guy trying to tell us about bums, right? Because that's what you're looking for in these type of movies. You're looking for either this is going to be a statement against, like, the chemical industry or, you know, nuclear corporation, whatever the fuck. You're looking for your angle, right? All these were kind of,
Yeah, I was, like, missing that at the beginning because, I mean, I guess we haven't said it for the audience, but this beer, it's wine, right?
Yeah, Viper actually, wine. Yeah. I guess so,
I thought it was some kind of, you know, prior to seeing the movie, that it was going to be some kind of toxic tie-in.
We accidentally dump a toxic thing and the guy's like, what do? I don't know. Or some guy just finds something. But yeah, it's just a dude that
finds. But Ed just finds a crate of old booze in a crawl space in the basement of his liquor store.
Yeah, and that's it. It's expired.
We'll sell it to the bums. They always come in
for a dollar.
Yeah. So that's it. So, like, what is the statement that they're trying to make?
Well, at first, there? The statement is, nothing really. That's what's so fucking weird about this movie. Mm. It's like, because it's almost like they only use that for the gore scenes. The real statement of the movie at first is kind of this, like, Vietnam vets have been so fucked up that they're bums, right? Our main bad guy, he's like King Bum, right?
Bronson.
His name is Bronson.
Yeah.
Bronson.
Well, you want a tough guy name in the 80s,
yeah, well,
right?
For sure. Bronson's in, dude. Like,
yeah. Bronson.
And, you know, so this is some dude that, you know, of course, got back from Vietnam, and he's crazy, and he's creating his little army of bums or whatever. And I kind of thought, well, here's our story. King Bum is going to have whatever. And then we have two runaway brothers whose dad was so fucked up coming back from Vietnam that, I don't know, they're just like, we got to get out of here, kid. Like, and yeah, they run away.
And become bums.
And this is what's confusing about this movie, because at first I'm like, what fucking period does this take place in? Because the kid is wearing hippie clothes. I'm like, so did he steal his dad's hippie clothes?
It's the generation before when they got rid of all their clothes. Like, that's what's available in the dumpsters and everything. So they're getting, like, last generation's clothing and everything, and that's what they have to live in.
So I guess that's a good idea. But he's the only guy really dressed in, like, I mean, he's got a fucking, like, purple. I mean, he looks like a hippie.
Yeah, he's got dangly beard hair.
Castles on the nice leather jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like
he's the hipster bum.
That's what I was thinking at first. It's like hipster or hobo.
Who will also at some point it'll be interchangeable. Hipster, hobo, or Fred, I think is his name.
Like four main characters in the first. It was like we don't follow anybody. We don't really hear their stories for the first bit. They're trying to build one of these like communal stories, right? Like here's the bums, right? But you don't fucking find out shit about nothing until just one of these random victim bums comes in. He's like, you think you're better than me, you blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to tell you, and then you know it. Or what does he say?
You'll know the ting.
You know the ting. You know the ting.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's I lost it all on a horse already. I didn't know. Like, I bet my life. I bet my kid. I like that. That was a good
This is the suit I wore to my wedding.
Yeah. But I guess that is the thing in the movie, right? That was unexpected. Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, the major driving force of this was going to be this, you know, toxic booze killing all these people. And where'd the toxic booze come from? And
what's killing all the bums?
Turn somebody into a super raging toxic, you know, monster or a bunch of them, and we're going to have to eventually have the standoff.
A zombie army of half melted bums.
But that makes too much sense, Colin.
But it
takes too much money.
It doesn't do that at all. No, that is not this movie.
I'm copywriting that zombie army of half melted bums. 2016
Saturday. The second person melting, all they did for special effects really is have like the toe sticking out through the shoe and having it pop. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was just like
the ooze
was just dropping on the street. That way you could have a joke of a guy getting it dropped in his face.
It drops onto the face of the writer producer, who's a guy named Roy Frumkes.
Was that Frumkes?
Yeah.
Frumkes.
So he has a name in the horror world because he did, before it was chic to do this kind of thing, he followed George Romero around on the set of Dawn of the Dead and made a movie called Document of the Dead.
Oh, did he do that?
Yeah, it was like one of the first, I think, where you get the insight into the director's, you know, process, you know, like on the set kind of.
I could
pass that around. Scrolled past that on Netflix. I don't know if you can watch.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I mean, as far now they do it all the time. Sure. There's like documentaries on
people. But that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Spend like in that amount of time. Yeah.
Like
2 hours
or something like that. It's a long documentary.
There's been several cuts of it. Yeah. So I think that's where now he's like a professor. I think he teaches film somewhere in New York, you know, but I don't know, like, if he's got credits beyond. Well, you've got like, hey, I've got some experience. I made Street Trash.
Yeah. He said when he wrote this movie that he wrote it to offend somebody on every quadrant. So he was pretty much going after everybody. And just like, okay, I don't care.
So I would actually believe that.
Yeah.
Because
he said that was his purpose. He's like, but they wrote it. The younger generation like saw it and like loved it and took it as like an attack on like, you know, people that didn't like it, what have you. So it was
dirty bums. Because it's not really nice to bums.
Well, no, but the whole
movie is
depicting people in general as complete trash. Like the bums, obviously, like derelicts, the gangsters, the business owners, all of them. Like not one person is portrayed in a good way in this movie. Everyone's disgusting. Everyone's a whore. Everyone is just awful.
Or a rapist. Yeah. Or a thief. Or,
like,
you know, like,
they're portraying everyone as an animal.
Except for the young kid. I mean,
even then his brother's like, she's basically your mother and you want to fuck her. Like, he's telling him, everyone in this movie is portrayed as almost like an animal.
Stupid, like, 18-year-old brother made his, like, 9-year-old brother run away with them. Come on, kid, dad's too crazy. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he suffered like a trap. No, we gotta get out of here. He sucks.
Yeah.
People are, like, their characters even growl in this movie. Like, it's to that extent that everyone is supposed to be an animal. That's what I took from it.
I mean, that's what I get like from trauma movies, right? Everything's fucking...
That's what I said earlier. I think it's like a specific brand of New York filmmaking, especially from that era. Because, well, I mean, we watch Bad Taste... Or not Bad Taste, sorry. Basket Case. And it has like a similar feel to it. I was going to say this movie's made in bad taste, but you know, I mean,
it's like an irony. It's like sarcasm in a weird way. It's, you know, it's saying this is the almost the umpteenth degree of what we actually see, right? It's a cartoon. It's a fucking cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Everything's exaggerated to like the 10th degree.
You don't just lust after women. You'll fuck dead corpses.
Yeah.
It's to that point.
Yeah.
Which was the mayor of Toxic Avenger and the owner of the nuclear site in Class of Nukem High.
He's the owner of a junkyard where a lot of this movie takes place. It's like, you know, they've got all these spare parts, and there's like a tire village, and all the hobos live there.
Which I personally loved the car entrance to the tire.
Yeah,
you got a tire apartment. I always found that pretty cool.
And that's where most
like a Ninja Turtle thing.
Yeah, that's where most of the hobos hang out, and that's where this character Bronson like presides over, like he's the lord of this era, this area. He has these flashbacks. I mean, this movie it's random, right?
Woo.
But he has these flashbacks where he sees the Viet Cong as vampires coming to get him. Where he has a knife made out of a femur.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's just portrayed as, I think they said, like he came back from the war. He was discharged with a Section 8, so he's crazy. He ends up homeless, and he is. It turns out like the most defined character I think in the movie, because the rest of it were split up amongst this like group of I don't know what six. Oh to 12
Dude,
characters.
Every scene was introducing a brand new character. Every fucking scene was like, hey, now, who's this guy? Oh, what are you doing? Hey, even people that would not even come in for the rest of the movie, they still had to have their own specific scenes.
Now, what do you think is the point of that? I mean, why would you make a movie where you're just going to continually introduce like new characters all the time? You're not following like one specific plot. No. The synopsis on the back of the box becomes like this kind of thing in the very background that's being investigated by this muscle-bound cop.
You're trying to make like a Rocky movie, right? Rocky, okay, like you start off with Rocky and then he goes to the bar. He talks to the bartender, right? You know him and the bartender have like something of a friendship, right? You don't really hear from the bartender the rest of the movie, right? They're just establishing a community thing, you know? Mm. Even though this movie's not good at
it. Well, was it successful, I guess, at doing that? Because we're like, aware of like a large, like it built like its own little insular world, I guess,
but
right?
But nobody was really that connected to anybody. Like, I would understand it if Bronson, like right from the get-go, if our like 18-year-old dressed like a hippie bomb was either, I mean, we do see him try to like steal money for, I guess, Bronson and like, it takes like 40 minutes before Bronson's even like, my $20! And then like beats him up for it. But it's like, there should be almost like a, I'm trying to prove something to this Bronson kid. And then like this fucking like Asian lady that works there is trying to help his younger brother. There should have been almost like a, she's trying to get them out of there. Like he's too young to be, you know, or some fucking thing. This movie just didn't want to have a point except for the... just kind of like the Apocalypse Now type of fucking like
everything's crazy in the end times. Crazy. Is that what it's saying? It's like,
I think, well, to me personally, but I take kind of
because all the bums are
offense
like
offense to anybody that goes to wars. You're crazy. Our dad came back crazy. Bronson came back crazy. If you go to war, you'll be crazy. But you know,
but it's
these are liberal films.
It feels more like Friday to me, where it's kind of just a day in the life of people hanging out in this neighborhood.
But that two characters that you've stuck with and you know their world. This was just like, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here, we're going. Like first, we're starting off with the hippie. He steals $2. He has an adventure. Like he runs away from everybody. Like
he does. That opening was like, that was on its tongue. goes. Like, that was going.
Holy shit.
Like, that was...
I can't even recall. Like, he steals...
Well, this is during the opening credits. Yeah. I mean, while the credit... The whole credit sequence manages to pack in... Because of what he steals...
A chase scene? Like,
a chase scene?
A fight scene?
Car crash?
The,
nudity?
The bartender guy? Oh, yeah. He goes into a... burning apartment, and there's people fucking, and they're not worried. Like, they're already close to the bottom floor. We still got time to finish.
Right. Yeah. It's up there.
But it's just like the fact that they would have because obviously this movie's on a limited budget, but I mean, the stunt work of, you know, like there's a car crash right at the very beginning. They're trying to, I think, arrest your attention early on in this movie by having a lot of stuff happening where it's like, I guess I expected. And again, maybe this is where the movie's intentionally trying to defy your expectations. But like, I thought by the end of that credit sequence, there would have been some type of closure to, you know, whatever was happening there. You know, right, the guy stolen the money and like, this is going to end up.
He's doing it for the Bronson guy, but he really doesn't have any relation to Bronson in this whole movie.
No.
He's off. I don't even fucking know what he's doing. He's just being angry. Dude stole my bottle of Viper. And we see that guy drink it and get flushed down the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Which is just supposed to be, like, outrageous. I mean, that's, you know, your opening, well, it's a kill, I guess. You know,
yeah. Well, sure, the death.
But it's supposed to be, like, your attention grabbing, like, look what we're doing with this movie. And, I mean, I think it works in that level, you know. I mean, it's gooey and, you know, it's like, oh, look at what they're doing there. It's, you know, professionally done for that budget level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't do anything to the story. It doesn't affect the story forever. They introduce a cop character who, like, they find it, I guess, and they're just like a serial killer. It's like, really, a serial killer's melting people?
Right. Well, I almost got the impression that, like, whatever the cops were investigating was taking place, like, off screen in some circumstances. Well, there's a side plot where there's a, like, I was assuming that she was a hooker.
Oh.
That was dating we find out. I mean, I guess I didn't understand the relationships initially, and this kind of came to me as the movie unfolded. But this girl was
right now.
Right. But I was also
thinking, how does the Italian mobster fit into the story?
Right. Yeah. I know. That's why I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, that was his girlfriend. I just thought she was a hooker on the street. But no, she was the girlfriend. And then
of the mobster.
Yeah. That's why he was pissed off and like wanted to find.
They do say that when he comes out, he's like, did you see her? The woman that was here with me tonight. Did you see her?
Yeah. And then went away with this other guy. And then that's why they're in the police station. Cause I'm like, why are the doorman and the mob guy in the police station? It's like, oh, cause they're talking about, they found her body. That's the dead
and
body.
That's the dead
that
body of the
up.
Fat guy, which I didn't get the first time. I didn't realize that was her.
These things don't. I mean, yeah, they may say it later or blah blah blah. They just doesn't connect. A bum. All you see is a bum wanders into a fucking alley, and there's a whore puking. And then she's drunk enough that she's like, let's fuck. She might have said his name, right? Bobby or some shit.
And she keeps calling him Nikki. But his real name's Fred. So we're like, what's his name? I don't know.
Is just like, dude, I'm going to fuck this drunk chick.
Well, she's calling him Nikki because that's the gangster's name. He's Nick the Dick, remember?
But we hadn't met him yet.
Well, I know. But later on.
But I'm talking about the scene in itself. He meets the drunken whore. He just goes to fuck her. A bunch of bums like jack off looking at her. Then they steal her. And just take off with her.
Then you get introduced to Nick or the mob boss.
And yeah, I didn't connect them at all. Yeah.
Well, it was right after they walked away when he comes out and he talks to the doorman.
Right, but then nobody he says Nicky.
He says
that girl. I didn't know it was that fucking girl. How was I supposed to know?
He said that she was outside. He said the girl that I was with tonight was outside.
We didn't see him with we just saw a girl puking.
I got that. I know, but she was the one.
I guess I got that he was looking for that girl, but right.
When I talk about a movie, I'm talking about the way it's edited, the way the story's told for you to link this, to link that, and this fucking movie's horrible.
No, they introduce the information after they do something that should make sense for you to know
it. And since every new character is a forgettable and doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the story, you're just assuming it's another character. I don't need to know. This is just somebody that's going to get fucked or raped or, like, dragged off or, like... God forbid, Mel.
Yeah. It did get to a point where it was more like, well, this person's either someone's going to rape them or something or other, rather than have them melt.
It did get to that point.
It was really rapey.
It did get, like, for that middle chunk, it was, like, really rapey. I'm just like, can't we just get back to melting people?
The fucking, tossing the dick around.
Oh, the hot potato with the severed penis?
Oh, my God.
Dude, someone told me about that scene in elementary school. I'm like, no way. I don't give a fuck. This guy's just talking shit.
I mean, but what do bums do all day? And then there's your answer.
Yeah, it is the weirdest thing. That I think that is where the movie. Well, I mean, I think
can
it
you pinpoint
its,
it?
Is it does it hit its lowest point either when they gang? Well, you know, we don't see it, but there's the intention that they're going to gang rape this woman.
Yeah,
or that then was there's the guy frame. Like
Jesus.
The guy has sex with her corpse. That I mean, that, you know, that's I mean, it's aiming for this kind of
low.
Like tastelessness.
It was
in its tasteless. Outrageousness. It's going to make a name for itself as
it's
being
punk,
less,
right?
Yeah,
these are, right.
These are punk horror movies.
And that's how it was embraced as something punk. Anarchist. Like they, right. And they didn't necessarily, they didn't, yeah. I mean, they said they didn't necessarily make it that way, but it was like adopted as punk as just something
well,
like that.
How was it made? I mean, yeah, you're saying like it's did. A satire of what? I guess that's what maybe, I mean, we're supposed to apply our film criticism heads to this and say like,
well, yeah.
So what is, you know,
are we supposed to? Or,
yeah, well, I mean,
that's what we're going to do.
It paints the bums as, you know, I mean, like, I guess humanity, a variety of different people or personality types and, you know, with different morals, you know, you can't paint each one the same way. But they're all basically in this movie. I think everyone, as Holly pointed out, is a degenerate in
except
some
like the
way.
The black guy is a degenerate only to people he doesn't know. Right. He's friends with his. He's friends with the
oh the guy who goes and robs
kid,
the
but he'll rob from the store
right
you know?
Right
because I like in the end when he takes the bottle from the guy I was like is this fucking dude gonna steal the Viper from his buddy
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Just the way this movie goes like right. Everybody just steals shit from people and they're like sorry about that or I got that or they do chase each other everybody's just
yeah.
Chasing each other this whole movie
with the Steadicam like, and the camera
dollars?
Operators chasing them yeah. With the Steadicam all yeah. The time I mean it has that kind of like dizzying. I think what Steadicam was around from what? I mean, they used it in The
like
Shining, and yeah, because there was a couple times. I think the very yeah. First shot of the movie races across like a street or down a street across a parking lot, you know, and then into a sign, a liquor sign
yeah.
On the front, like it's going to go hit,
right,
oh,
into
right into it. Then it cuts, and you're like,
and
what the hell?
It
is
goes
that like
inside.
An intention declaration
yeah.
Of intention?
But it has to be because they do it later on when they're in the liquor store too. Because they just go into a dark corner, and then you're in the basement with Ed, the guy who owns the liquor store.
Right, yeah.
So that's got to be intentional. They're just going cuts. Into stuff. They're just like, let's get it into this, get into black, and then cut to it. So yeah, they're constantly yeah. Running into shit.
It was just possibly innovative at the time in 1987 because I remember a review of Highlander, which came out in 1986, where like the critics would complain about the dizzying use of stylistic camera stuff. Yeah. So I think the idea that we were moving the camera around freely and running after people and stuff with a Steadicam was still at that point like
a
newish
new thing,
idea,
yeah.
Even though you'd seen it and stuff like I said, The Shining or Halloween or
right. But we've yeah. Seen it way more today than they would have seen it back then.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're just still
that's
like,
why
ah!
That's why I'm saying this movie is so experimental with everything. It's just like, this is so random.
Especially
it's
for
so
a bunch
random.
Of first, it seems
yeah.
First-time filmmakers. I'm
clearly,
sure there's some veterans
yeah.
Who have like worked on trauma stuff that seem to have come
well,
over
well,
to
those
this.
Are mostly the actors.
Right, but it seems like
veterans.
Very first-time. Well,
they still, they still come out like they've never
loosely.
Acted a day in their life.
Very loosely, but... yeah, definitely, especially by
yeah.
Filmmakers, experimental.
Very much. The camera work, it's like, let's try this. It's like, they have this whole style, and then all of a sudden, whoa, weird angle. Like, it's
right.
Just
when
really...
The guy's white, when the guy's melting, they just start at one end of the building and then slightly move over to the
oh,
left.
Yeah.
And they do that like five times.
Well, it's supposed like, to yeah. Be like the echo of his screaming, right?
Just,
but they're too, like, they don't want to just like cut here and
right.
Have birds take off or something. Cut
right.
Here.
It's like, we
so
have no birds.
Here,
what do we do?
Here. It's like, oh, well, that was boring. Like, it would have been more exciting just to cut to a different location.
Right.
Right. It's like, nope,
and then there's
time,
there's one when the store owner is melting when there's like a 360 shot like what was
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
it's like over
right,
head,
yeah.
Just head
like,
over heels kind of
yeah. The
on a
Steadicam sideways and just yeah. Turned it.
What Why? It was is when you don't have special effects because that was just like orange shit running down. Like
yeah.
He wasn't like it didn't look like a lot of prosthetics.
No,
yeah. Like. So that's why all the cameras moving around is because the movie has nothing going on except for chases. So it's like we got to do as much with the fucking camera to make people feel like they're fucking involved in something.
Like disoriented.
Even
yeah.
Though there's no story to really, because usually movies have like goals or like something
a
people
plot.
Are looking for.
What do they want to do? Directions.
Like, I almost expected the bomb to see the cop looking at the melted guy and be like, what happened? He had that Viper. I better chase that.
Right, yeah.
I expected a goal.
You're right.
Well, everybody has, like, there's little characters.
There's many ones, yeah.
Yeah, the you know, for instance, the Italian restaurant owner wants to find the, what was his goal?
His girlfriend.
Find his woman.
No, but he wanted like a doorman. That gets involved.
The doorman, who's the best part.
Okay, so
the doorman and the restaurant owner. We need to talk about
that. The restaurant owner was, Tony Darrow.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. But yeah, he was
who sang the fucking ending song to this movie, and it was glorious.
It was the only song
they played when he was on screen glorious. Because it was like his version of My Way.
Yeah.
They had to do their own like public domain version of My Way. So it's like, fuck, we'll just have this guy.
It is fucking hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's like narrating his entire. Great.
It is. It's like starting, it's doing his arc from the movie and then finishing it with him melting in the song. It's great. Yeah.
He's like, what? I'm dripping? It's hilarious.
It's surprising that it came from this movie.
Well, it's almost as if, well, they just needed somebody for the doorman and the restaurant owner, and they just happened to get like the two like best actors for their whole movie, and they're like, fuck it, let's just film more scenes with these guys. Because it's like,
they're like, finally we have chemistry.
Everything with the mob, it has fucking nothing to do with fucking nothing. We could just see that whore get killed, and we would have assumed she was just a drunk prostitute or something like that.
Yeah, I did.
At first, we all thought that.
We did. We're just like,
but then the even, I mean, I guess what, you're supposed to assume that the cop is kind of getting information? You're supposed to assume.
I don't know, but he runs into scenes haphazardly for no reason. Like, when they talk to the doorman and the mob guy in the police station, the next scene is him running into the junkyard and be like, there's a hit out on the guy who took the girl. He does, because he's going to warn the bum. Like, him and him are friends.
This is where I was talking about earlier. I don't understand why they were doing what they were doing.
I feel like they're friends. It's like, hey, I'm coming to warn you. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you the hit's out on the guy who took the girl. And then...
Oh, that's why the hit was out. Okay. Yeah. Like,
because
I remember the scene where the guy's menaced in the bathroom by this hoodlum, and it's like, why was he there?
I thought he was the girl's boyfriend because he's like, you took a girl, and I didn't realize until the cop like rolls down his window and the guy's like, fuck you, cop or whatever.
He throws his BB gun back at him.
Was his guy.
Yeah. But the cop was actually stupid.
This is the story, folks. This is the movie. It's not about bombs melting. It's about like a bomb picks up a hooker that happens to be a restaurant owner's girlfriend, and they just run around in circles chasing each other in other scenes not involved with each other.
And we say to ourselves, well, how does this connect with the main antagonist, the Bronson guy? And the answer is we don't really know because it happens in his junkyard.
Yeah.
I guess the owner of the junkyard.
That was I don't know if it's because all these like anti-Vietnam movies were so popular at the time, you know, the Platoon, I don't know if they were just trying to whip in, you know, something movie makers do, right? Like, hey, what's popular right now? Unicorns and butterflies? All right. Unicorns and butterflies. Like, I mean, they just look at a poster and say, like, this is selling. We got to put our crazy Vietnam guy in there. Rambo. Whatever the hell.
But
dude.
Usually those movies, I guess this is where I'm seeing, like, a distinction, and maybe this is answered by something that Sean said earlier, but usually in those movies, even though the films are anti-war, anti-Vietnam, they're usually pro the Vietnam veteran. You know, even Rambo, to the extent that it did at the end, you know, tries to articulate the plight of the soldier coming home or, you know, whatever, or what they've experienced.
He ends up being the hero, usually.
But here, it's like, you've made your antagonist a Vietnam, you know, a crazy, you know, like the stereotypical crazy Vietnam veteran who's like only out to kill
the way
everyone.
All the hippies did, the goot killers.
Yeah. He kills, I think, veterans. Almost in the second scene that we see him in, for no apparent reason, he pulls a guy, like, there's these bums that, like, wash car windows and stuff. Like, you stop, apparently in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
You stop your car and bums will swarm your vehicle trying to collect some money to clean your car.
Don't breathe on the car.
And he, like, just randomly yanks this guy out of a car and, like, kills him. Like, on the in broad daylight, at the beginning of the movie.
That guy's like, conversation is like, I used to shoot one of those amphibians. Yeah. You guys were talking about those are that was pretty fun. And then he gets yanked out of the car and his face shoved into the windshield,
which is like, another one of those edits where it's just like. Whoa! Oh, he's through the windshield. Like, right.
Right. Nothing like, else.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So you're just like, oh, I wonder what he did. Oh!
Some of the special effects in this were like more like haunted house scenes, right? It's like, well, we set up the gore. Like, we'll just have to edit to it. Like, ah!
Yeah.
So don't move it. Well, here's my question or that I posed to you guys. Is like, then are we saying that instead of making a political statement like the other movies do about Vietnam and the veterans, that this is just trying to offend everybody by making the Vietnam veteran a crazy psycho killer?
I think that's part of it.
It keeps in tone with everything else that's in this
jacket,
movie.
Right. Full Metal Jacket does it. Platoon does. I mean, that's what all those movies did. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, they made them hero. What are you talking about? Every veteran
like
movie
Rambo.
Well, Full Metal Jacket.
There are some.
Okay, but that's... Okay, Rambo, the first Rambo, he was supposed to kill himself. He was not a hero. He was a crazy guy that warred on a... Put, like, he had war on a town. That he was not a hero in the first Rambo movie. It was only until they sold a bunch of movies that were like, fuck yeah, he's going back, and he's rescuing people. You know, he became a hero after the fact. Mm. You know, the first movie was about PTSD.
Well, that's also, I think, what Full Metal Jacket is about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically,
oh, yeah.
These movies say that you take these, you know... normal, everyday, average kids, you put them through this psychological meat grinder and they come out ruined because of it. And so, like, war is the ruining factor.
Yeah.
Where this movie doesn't really say that, like, war... I mean...
Well, because they're all loose characters. I mean, you're looking for... I mean, this is like, I think they're trying to do it, but once again, these guys are not really...
I've never seen them, but I've never seen them actually, like, go, like, he is 100%, like, he went to war. He's crazy. He comes back. He's just going to kill everyone because, like, that's all he does. He kills.
But it's a trauma movie. Or not a trauma movie. But it's
focused on so much. Sure does feel like they produce flashbacks for this character. Pretty, like, somewhat intricate compared to everybody else in this movie or all the other characters.
There's explosions.
There's explosions in the background. Like, in your quote-unquote war movie where they just have the explosions going off in the background while you're doing shit up front, like, they did that in this movie. Like, they took the time to go do that.
Yeah. There's two...
There's vampires!
That whole, like, he left the war, but the war didn't leave him.
yeah, man.
Is that what we got out of it?
That's
I'm not
said.
Entirely sure, just from watching it. I'm like, I realized that there were flashbacks and it was a chance for them to do some kind of stylistic Vietnam stuff, blue lighting and smoke and you know, Viet Cong vampires. But I'm like, what did I really get to the psychology of Bronson out of those flashbacks? I guess, I mean, this is
the war drove him crazy. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't even think that much of a deal if the two runaways didn't have their Vietnam story. That's the only reason why I'm like, this filmmaker is making a statement because he's enough to make three characters affected by the Vietnam War in this movie. God knows how many other bums.
And I mean, the vets, the bums, seems like at least veterans of some.
They
yeah.
wear badges. It's like they are saying, well, because it's a fact that fucking veterans are the majority of the homeless population.
And maybe why that's why they're all fighting
they
and having a war.
And they can't get fucking jobs. But this is, no, they get demonized because they're crazy from war. No, they get demonized because the media, whatever. We're not talking about that.
Well, let's look at the movie's treatment of, like, the New York authority, I guess, like, that is exemplified by these cops and,
these
you
Mickey
know,
Mouse
that,
cops.
Yeah.
Literally. Well, I mean,
literally Mickey Mouse cops.
Literally wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt.
Once again, only one scene. That guy, his only purpose is to come in and, like, I'm going to talk to you for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have to have a scene right
and the,
now.
And the funny corner. The corner was really funny.
Oh,
and he was
the
there for, like, 2 seconds.
He's like, hey, wait, you guys, look at my mess.
Sitting there eating his lunch. Like, he was
what
funny.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
He's like, he's building.
And he's eating sushi rolls. Because every corner is always just eating nonchalantly.
This guy came in last week. Nobody's identified him. I made art.
It's just weird.
Weird.
But it's also saying like that the like they don't seem to have like a moral superiority to the people that they're busting. It's just like this is a job that we do, and maybe that is like, you know,
it's just exploitation to the fullest extent, right?
Well, I guess you know,
I mean,
I was just
nudity,
thinking like
right? I mean, kill. I mean, everything is just.
But no, I mean the cop characters. Oh. They don't seem to have like a, they're kind of they're in there with the, like, you know, they're not busting these hookers because it's like prostitution is a wrong thing. It's just like, well, it's what we do. This is the law. So we pick you up and we take you away. Right. But they're chummy with them. You know, it's like, right, we know that this is how it goes, you know, and all that. And the detective character has to go and, and go to the tire, whatever the tire
castle. Yeah.
Yeah. To like kick out all the bums and all that stuff. And it was like,
can we talk about the fact that the cop's punishment for the one bum was to shower him and give him fresh clothes?
Right. That is the greatest. I don't know why, but he's it's like,
shower.
He didn't give us our information. Clean him up. Give him a shower. And that's the best, where the bum, I mean, it is like 15 minutes later where the bum wakes up and he's just like,
he looks showered. Like he doesn't know what happened.
Right.
That's why I don't understand this. He's like, what the
showered,
fuck?
Showered, fresh clothes.
Like a drunken stupor.
That's great. They make him like, his punishment is to not be one of them anymore.
Yeah.
To not be a bum anymore, which is what, at this point, they're so far gone, that's what they want. Like, this is theirs. They're part of that group. To shower him and give him fresh clothes is the ultimate punishment for them. Yeah. And that's funny. And
the scene before that, like, why he has to take the shower, is the only, like, kind of, I guess, clue they would have given to why the cops think people are, like, a killer is murdering bums, because there's these punks that are setting bums on fire with gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently.
But once again, this is another idea that they don't, like,
they go bring up anywhere. And then ignore.
I mean, you see the scene and you're like, oh shit, I wonder if they're going to connect this to the melting. No, they don't. They're just like, someone's killing bums.
Right, and like, they catch it in progress and they're get out of here.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, it ends up engineering a scene that so you can get like this muscle bound cop in conflict with Bronson.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, okay, you know, when that actually started, I'm like, this seems like a natural progression of where this movie is going. Mm-hmm. You put the two strongmen together and they're going to fight.
Right.
It had a surprising outcome, you know, but it was then, I don't know, I like sat there going like, immediately after that, Bronson ends up. Oh, that was where he gets the wine and his girlfriend drinks it. And then, like, he starts chasing the other kid. And I'm like, the runaway kid, the younger one. And I'm like,
he's jealous that the younger kid is, like,
is that what was happening? Did you all get that? Or is it just me where I was like, I don't understand why this character is motivated to go in this prolonged chase scene.
Bronson is looking at the girl and his cracking girl goes, oh, you want her, huh? You think she's so whatever?
Way earlier in the movie, I think there is another him looking at her as they walk.
No, you guys know that one of his flashbacks was a flashback hallucination. He saved her in Viet Cong. That was her.
Yeah.
And then they, like, started to hook up when they cut back to reality.
Oh, was that her?
That was her,
I remember thinking that was that girl, but I don't know if that's, like, you know, he...
Yeah, but he... Think that
yeah, it was trouble. It was a flashback / hallucination.
Or he was putting... I couldn't tell?
He was putting her face on somebody from... Yeah. Because he's seen Viet Cong vampires. Right.
Oh, yeah. The one who bit his nipple for 10
minutes. Yes, yes, that's the one.
Gotcha. Yeah. That ridiculous. Makes more sense. But we can almost skip all that and just say he had his eye on her.
He did.
Like, that's what he wanted. And so when it really is, when his girl died, he's just like, no, he's taking the last one.
Yeah. It was just like an abrupt change of,
it was
not motivation. Necessarily tone, but motivation. Yeah. Where like, I couldn't follow the jump. And this happened a number of times during the movie.
About fucking wine that makes bombs. But by the time you get to it, you're like, wait a second. So this PTSD King Bum is going after this young runaway bum because he is actually taking the girl that is in his crazy PTSD dreams. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think they know what they're saying about
and the cops
people
are on
in
it.
Society.
Yeah.
Well, what are they saying?
Because they're not doing the horror movie they say they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, what's the message about
until
bums?
The last
then?
10 minutes.
There is no, because
it's not like they have sympathy for
it. It's just a crazy world.
It's funny. It's just funny. Like Hobo with a shotgun.
it's kind of like
it feels very much like
it kind of felt like they just took whatever angle's the dirtiest and bums.
For sure. Whatever's the bummiest.
Junkyard bums.
Yeah. What can we do anything with? Bums.
Yeah. We don't need good makeup. We don't need good clothes. We don't need
dirty.
But I mean, there must have been. That's where I don't know if they spent money on this movie or if it was cheap to make. But the production design, I would say, like. It feels like dirty, scummy. It feels grimy. Like they shot in real, like, I mean, I'm completely convinced that, like, that whole auto parts junkyard
Oh, that's all
exists
real.
Exactly like that in real life.
Oh, yeah.
With the little tire hut and everything. Oh, yeah. Like, I would be, you know, like...
No bum would ever make a tire hut.
They'd
be too tired.
Too tired.
I was just, like, sold. I'm like, all these people look real. All of this stuff feels real. It's, it does. It feels dirty. Like,
especially
like,
when the... There's a scene in the cop station where... the muscle-bound cop is just talking to, like, the dispatcher about some shit. And just... You barely see it, but just kind of, like, the set... Or where they were at. Like, I could see it, and I've been in places like that before. Just, mm-hmm. It's still got all the old wooden fixtures and
the
everything. Wood, just
like the paneling?
Yeah. Or just, and you can almost feel the grime that just kind of lives on everything. You're just like, ooh, I can smell where they're at right now. So, it's got to be real. Like, I can't imagine they would have the money to make anything. So they just knew people and just like, well,
and I buy the tire hut because it was made by the brothers, the new bums. They've still got the energy.
Well, Bronson has made his throne or whatever. Bronson made his throne, I suppose. So that's basically the only other.
Yeah.
All right, so there's also the penis tossing scene.
Oh, my God.
Which we talked about a little bit, but like it tonally... Is it in keeping with the rest of the movie? This guy, this guy's trying to pee through like a hole in the whatever the fenders or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the older brother gets attacked by Bronson and he's about to get killed, and one bum just wakes up and goes, "Huh?" And decides to just pee through.
He thinks he's pissing on a wall, but he doesn't know he's pissing through a hole.
Right.
onto King Bum.
Yeah.
Who and then? So King Bum grabs it and cuts it off, and then starts throwing it around.
Then they start playing keep away. Yeah.
And then there's kind of like a...
It's just the weirdest fucking thing. Like,
well, but right before that, there was like this crazy, weird, like Bugs Bunny bassoon music when he was going to, you know, go all necrophilia on that dead woman.
It was so weird.
When the fat guy...
It's funny, the music's like...
Right, but even the scene before where like the fat guy and the Asian woman are like tapping it out, I'm like... I can't tell what we're doing here. Like, is this something that they do like every week where they just kind of mess around with each other and they're just like, it's almost like bickering back and forth a little more than that. Or is he really trying to do it and they're just putting this funny music over it and it's uncomfortable?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's supposed to be funny to the old pervy old man. It's funny.
Is it
funny. If you watch the Japanese do it in their cartoons, they do make it really hilarious.
See, I'm hearing a lot of sarcasm in Travis's voice, listener, when he's saying this.
No, I am serious. I am serious. Japanese cartoons always have one pervy old man like, you know, like, I'm so old and like, it doesn't even matter who, you know, and they always steal bras and shit like that, whatever. But this is like the American version of that, where we're like, no, we're too far. This is like
where
some
we don't
cute
know.
Old man that just likes to pinch a butt.
Right.
You know, this is like, I want to fuck anything.
Including a dead
person. That's a dead person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when he discovers this dead body, I just remember, you know, I mean, I said like the music that like plays, you know, you're like, oh, my God, he's found a dead body. And then, like, they start playing this music, and I'm like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
And Travis is like, it's because he wants to fuck her. Yeah. And I'm, sure enough, that is what is actually going on.
I've seen plenty of movies like this. I know what they're going for.
Yeah.
I recognize that bassoon. I know what he's thinking.
Yeah, very, very wacky. Wacky stuff.
And then they throw the penis around for a while.
Yeah.
That's just,
God, that happened.
I feel like I've heard about that scene, too, before seeing this movie, but... Just, you know,
it didn't have like a very good ending though. I mean, like somehow the thing
he
has
should
have
caught because there's like a Hail Mary throw. And
right,
he should have kissed it. Oh, yeah, that would have been hysterical.
Does the audience understand that the guy, like, even though he has his dick cut off, is still running around
like he's fine?
No,
like he's
seriously
fine.
He's going, put it on ice.
Seriously,
give it back.
The ridiculous of this scene. I was waiting for someone to catch it in their mouth. Like
I
really was.
I thought this was, or somebody to accidentally get in their mouth.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what I was waiting for.
Dog picks it up, runs away, gets hit into something, knocked in the air, and whatever.
Once again, this whole movie, because they said this movie is based off a short film by some other guy named
same guy.
But so I figured, so that short film must have just been about a bum buying booze at Melt. And then they're like, well, we need an hour and a half, so
what can we fill this with?
You guys want to fuck around in a junkyard for two days, see what we come up with? And then they're like, today we'll do Apocalypse Now. Then we'll have two runaway kids. And then we'll have, it's like, every day they did a new story. And they're like, no, something else. Let's do something else.
Yeah. it does feel kind of knitted together from, well, I mean, toward the end. So it's about like, I don't know, for all the gore hounds in the audience, of which I count myself one of them, I mean, there's a very long period of probably an hour between, there's like two up front, two gore melts, and then there's a series of rapid, you know, in rapid succession, there's like four or five toward the end.
Yeah.
And so then the movie's picking back up again on the gore melting quotient, because the Ed, the liquor store owner,
Wheezy.
Wheezy, which is like one of those morally compromised things where like the guy knows that the
what
liquor
it'll
causes
do.
It
right.
after the other dude explodes.
Yeah.
And this guy like blows up and explodes like the Monty
like,
Python
fuck that
gag.
Guy. I'm gonna make him drink it.
Yeah, and so he's going to, I want to kill, I want to kill this guy who's been a pain in my ass the entire thing by feeding him this stuff.
That's what fucks me up about that. It's like, the fuck, all this guy won't want, he's trying to get revenge on him for just stealing money.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Right, so that he owed to Bronson,
It's like, I guess the only character you're supposed to latch onto is like the younger bum kid, but he's barely, in the, all he wants to do is fuck the Asian secretary. That's all he wants.
She almost does, which is.
Oh, dude, oh my God. Oh yeah, this Asian lady loves dirt dick. It's crazy when she's like, yes, I'll fuck you, you're a little bum.
I mean,
and she doesn't take a shower. She's just like, shower. Let's just do this right now.
If you eagle-eyed viewers will notice that when she takes him into the office and she's kissing his stomach, and then they get interrupted. Later on, if you see the young boy running around, you notice the small circle.
Spot.
There's a clean spot on his stomach where she was kissing. And it's, that might be the grossest thing.
It might be an accident, but it's funny still.
If, no, come on. Like, whoever
did
that.
No, I don't think
that,
these guys are that genius.
Come on.
That
it was right there. It's almost too
you say
perfect.
Brian, did you say Brian Singer worked on this?
No.
As a production assistant.
It was him.
Yeah, probably. That kid's going somewhere. Yes. Good job, Ryan.
I have to find out what happened to that boy. I'm worried.
I want to know what substance they put on him, like as dirt.
I don't.
Because
dirt,
she,
just grease.
Yeah,
dirt.
No, because no, because
makeup
she,
dirt.
She really kissed his stomach. Like what?
Well, but that was
I'm hoping. I'm hoping it was cocoa powder.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. That's it was weird anyway, because this Asian chick looks like she's like in her mid-30s.
I don't know. I had to dress up a bum once. We squirted ketchup and coffee grounds on him. It was pretty nasty.
Gross.
Yeah, it was. It was not good.
So, yeah, I mean,
Yeah, because what's the wrap-up to this
movie? The last 5 minutes turn into a horror movie where Bronson stalks the young kid around the...
But truly, the real ending was after the title popped up and they were back in the office. The gangster
now
and
the
doorman.
And the doorman.
Right, the doorman who had to be an up-and-coming comedian.
What? Yeah.
Because and he's got
well, he
that
said
delivery.
He's on Titus. He was on
yeah, he's
Titus.
Done a lot of like, TV. But never. It's like his character in this is the doorman, and I think like we looked up like his one of his most recent credits was like. Detective
Bridge
number
Spies.
Two or something like that. Yeah, in Bridge of Spies.
Right.
Detective number
so he's
two.
Got that background stuff. But he's got... The reason he's so funny to me is because he's got this delivery that never gets excited.
It's a soft voice.
It's just kind of just even the entire way,
York.
No matter how ridiculous it gets.
No,
it's
he
just
talks
like,
fast, dude. That's the key to acting. He's talking fast. It sounds like you know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It
yeah.
like you're talking off the cup of...
But he never even seems to really get flustered, even when the guy's like, see this
thing.
Cane? I'm take this cane. I'm going to shove it down your throat, and it's going to come out your ass. Well, you misunderstood what I was
saying. Let me kiss your ring. Like, kiss your ring, and we'll be all right. And I love you. You're just straight. Just
do
it.
What you calling me Nick the Dick? I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard that name. he's like,
what is that?
You said my girlfriend stinks. Yeah, I mean, she stinks of beauty.
Beauty, that's all I was trying to say. And it's just, you know.
But how does it wrap up the story of like, I mean, because
the
initial thing is
the... It takes us to the song.
Or the
well, the Bronson
event.
Dies.
But like, the initial event is, well, I suppose it is like, right? The initial event is they steal money for Bronson, and so he eventually, you got to kill Bronson.
Right.
So because he's the antagonist, they take his head off with a nitrogen container or whatever.
Right, they knock the top off, and it goes right into him. And it ends with a beautiful shot, which I didn't expect from this movie. I didn't think they were it was possible. The decapitation, but then it shows the body decapitated and the head falling right perfectly in the middle in the background.
That was beautiful.
I feel like we would have seen that like hit it, right? Like it feels like it was cut. Because I mean, Unless they did design it to just stick the camera there and just throw the fucking head in the background. Yeah, maybe. Which it could have been.
Blew off and that was it coming back.
Right. But whatever, it was beautiful.
It sounds like, I don't know.
Might not have been intentional, but it was good.
But the head, the remote control, pretty decent looking head, gets to move its eyes around it and the Asian girl jumps over it.
Oh,
and you get the impression that he's looking up her skirt. This is a
decapitated head. Oh, yeah, he was. And he smiled.
Looking up her skirt and smiling.
He smiled at the end.
That's how you do it.
That's how you end it. That's just classy. It. And then the Asian girl runs over to the little boy and then street trash.
Yeah. But there is
oh my God, you didn't get clean, did you?
There is no closure to the whole like the where the Viper wine comes from or that the liquor store is going to burn down. No one else will be affected by it. No.
No. It's a fucking barely a movie we just watched.
All right. So I guess anything else to say about street trash before we summon Igor the Beast to bring us our mail.
I think that's it.
I think that was it.
Street trash is over.
Let's get some mail in here.
All right. Well, Igor, where are you, sir? Bring us our mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right. I got a couple paragraphs.
Thank you, Igor.
Have you heard his singing voice?
Is that any good? Is it good? Because he can't speak too well.
Is he a soprano? So. I picture him as a soprano.
I'm not positive.
Is he more baritone?
Does he sound like Pavarotti? Like, because that would be great.
He's an opera singer, or does he do like show?
I don't
want
to say. He'll let you know.
He's very quiet about it.
Okay.
Something that will reveal itself later on.
That's his personal.
Wait, why did he sing for you?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, you're hearing him in the shower or something.
Do you know him? Do you guys hang out outside of this podcast? Shit.
Almost a spit take, Jesus. All right, well, we have a couple of, again, if you want to write to us, we're on Twitter, we're at @SatFreakShow. You can also get a hold of us on Facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreakShow or email us at SaturdayNightFreakShow@Yahoo.com and we'll read your comments like we're going to do here. Babette Giorgi writes
in. Babette.
About, all these are about the Monster Squad. Babette says, I think that most of the early monsters in movies, especially the Universal monsters, were rooted in human reality, from grave-robbing medical need ghouls to drinkers of blood for Luciferian ritual or the Fountain of Youth to mad scientists with generally crazy ideas to deranged or mentally disturbed man-wolves or those suffering from porphyria. These are all reality-based with a supernatural bent led by Hollywood. This is because we watched the Monster Squad where they went back and did all the, you know, Universal.
I wouldn't even say bent by Hollywood. This is bent by history. They used to think if you were a criminal and you died, that's what made you a vampire. Just being an evil person made your soul so evil that you would live on after your death.
Yeah, superstition, I think, like generally, you know, what? Porphyria, there'd be people who they'd dig up their bodies later and they'd have, like, you know, blood on their lips. So it was like, well, that person, how'd they get blood on their lips? They must have actually got out of the grave and gone and, you know, bit people. But it was actually like a natural thing from disease. Also, Babette Giorgi points out that the singer of both of the Monster Squad songs, so we had Rock Until You Drop and the whatever Monster Squad rap at the end, was Michael Sambello, who's the guy who did Maniac from Flashdance.
Shut up.
She's a maniac.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Crazy. And I'm shocked. G-Money writes in and says, love the Monster Squad and Castle Freak episodes as I grew up with both of those films. Growing up in Hollywood, I remember seeing the Castle Freak poster outside a theater they used to show Full Moon movies at.
Cool.
That the dreaded or the dreadful Head of the Family posters have always stuck with me. Monster Squad is one of those movies I always loved, and anyone who saw it as a youth probably carries that nostalgia with them wherever the film is brought up. Same as if you see Explorers or non-anime Guyver as an adult, you probably won't see them as classics. And also, thanks for making it known that Travis has a problem with every horror movie aside from his own, although I agree with almost everything he says.
That's
very, very passive aggressive.
He did not need that validation.
And
like we were all like, yeah, and they're like, oh
man,
passive aggressive. So, and Douglas Wayne writes about. All right, so I don't know if we brought it up on our Monster Squad episode, but Jonathan Gryce, who plays the Wolfman, also played the werewolf in Fright Night Part 2.
Yeah, I think you posted a lot, yeah.
On the yeah, there was a, werewolf? Yeah, so he played a werewolf twice within like 4 years of Bravo. Each other or whatever.
Awesome.
And Douglas Wayne writes in and said he also wouldn't give back Kramer's Tupperware on Seinfeld.
Oh my God, that is him.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Seinfeld.
So thank you, folks, for writing in.
Thank you.
And now. Awesome. Uh-oh. It's time for wrap-up, so that means you hear that sound. The bell tolls for who?
The hour has come, sirs.
Thank you, Lurk.
That's Lurk.
Those eyes.
All right, so now we're going to go around the room, do wrap-ups on Street Trash. And we're going to start with Travis.
A Rose by Any Other Name. Fuck this movie. No, I don't know. I'm always saying, like, okay, I've been watching horror movies now for a good, like 23 years, give or take. And it's like, why haven't I seen this? I always say, oh my God, I've always wanted to see that. It's always been the kind of the thing in the back of my mind. Oh, why haven't I seen that? Then I watch it. I'm like,
That's why.
It's because I was waiting. It's like, well, I'm going to wait until I scrape the bottom of the barrel, right? That's why I still haven't seen Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge. Like, I still haven't seen a few things out there. This year's been, I swear to God, one of those years. Madman, all these weird movies I never wanted to see. And it's like, oh, I had pretty good instincts. So, yeah, I hate Street Trash. This movie, I love some trauma movies, man. But this doesn't even have a story you can even latch on to. It doesn't even have those nuggets of ideas, or it just has nothing. It's got like two or three bomb melting scenes. You get to see some full bush. yeah, like other than that, it's just like pro, fuck, man.
Pro.
But that's it. You can list three pros. And so, like, yeah, I can't believe all the movies I would put ahead of this movie. I do not recommend Street Trash.
Well, all right. I don't know. I'm like, I'm not going to say I'm torn on this movie because overall, I'm going to lead with I'm not going to bury the lead. I didn't really like it. However, I am aware that I think this is an original movie. Like, I was sitting there going, yeah, because it was confounding my expectations so many, so often, it was like, am I resisting this movie because it's not doing what I want it to do? Because I guess I was trying to figure out what it was trying to do. So it was like engaging me in a way that, like, I'm not sure if this is just amateurish sloppiness or if there's actually like a point here that we're getting at, which I guess I still haven't at this point uncovered what it is. But I mean, like, by the time the fucking the mob guy's song kicks in during the end credits, I'm like, I have never fucking seen a movie like this in my life, And
it's saying something.
It does kind of have, but again, like I said, I didn't like the experience.
I was going to say, see Slime City?
Because I think there's something about this particular brand of New York cinema, which also covers the trauma thing. I mean, I've told you, I'm not a fan of trauma. And I think that it bleeds over into this. It kind of feels the same way. There's something about the, it's not like the amateurish quality. I mean, it is the amateurish quality of the acting or the direction, which, I think.
It starts out with a fart joke.
You've got that's the writing, right? Or whatever. But I mean, you've got the Steadicam and you're doing all this stuff with the camera, but I was still spatially unaware a lot of times, I mean, I'm just thinking, for instance, of the scene with the, at the Italian restaurant where the bum walks by. And then there's this guy in the white chef suit, like out having a cigarette. And I'm like, what is he looking at? Is he looking at these people going by or there's the doorman? It's like, I couldn't place spatially where they really were in relation to themselves other than that they were following the 180 degree rule. And it was like, he was looking off left and they were going left. So, he must have been following, where mm-hmm. they were going. But so I think like the staging from the directorial angle was like, it was clearly a first movie, but, And I guess because the movie wasn't what I expected it to be, I mean, you know, I came into it going like, it's going to be a movie about melting bombs, and that it wasn't. So I think I have to, I don't, not saying I'm ever going to watch it again, but I think I have to try and like reevaluate it under the guise of like, what, okay, that was what I wanted. That clearly wasn't what they were trying to do. So like, what were they trying to do? And, you know, see it under, you know, through that lens. But I just didn't like the experience because I think all the characters are so just repugnant, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, as Travis said, it's trying to be like this kind of punk, you know, rebel thing where we're just going to, and the guy, you know, Frumkus has said that I'm setting out to offend everybody because that's going to get me attention. And that's going to make the movie a cult, you know, thing. And obviously it worked in his behalf, but it's also just like, it's really just ugly in a lot of ways. I mean, not.
No, you're right.
It's ugly, but it's not ugly in like a, you know, like a Last House on the Left level or something like that. Maybe because those movies feel more realistic. And so that makes them kind of more dangerous in my mind than this, which is like, it's a fuck. It is a cartoon, you know. I mean, neon, it's very colored
melting people.
Yeah, and I mean, the characters are very broad, and you know, like this is the Jewish store owner, and this is the crazy bum, and this is the crazy
dude. It's like take, you know, Tom and Jerry hitting each other with hammers and just fucking blow that up to, yeah, you know,
would this
adult
make
X-rated level?
Yeah, would it make a good party movie to have on in the background? It's possible. I don't know, because you catch little bits and pieces of it and go, "What the fuck is that?" There are now grown men throwing a penis around in the country. You know, there's this guy melting on a toilet and flushing himself down the toilet, and his hand detaches as he's melting. I mean, like, all of this
stuff.
Was
there working plumbing in that?
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking at the time. Like, he's in like this blown out,
half demolished building. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, even though I'm talking it up as like, you know, you'll know if you would appreciate this, but personally, I just didn't like the experience of street trash. So I would pass. I would not recommend it. Mm.
Yeah, you said it very eloquently about being original, but I don't think you can call a clusterfuck original. Like, it's just a hodgepodge.
Throw shit at the wall.
Yeah, it is. It's like let's take every single idea we have and throw it in and see if it works. If it doesn't matter. It's already in. Done.
Yeah, no dirty priest.
Where was
the dirty priest?
Actually, there was the guy in the car in the part where he like fell on the car. I thought that was a priest at first. Oh. And I was like, seriously, we're hitting everything. But he was just wearing a windbreaker, so no big deal. But yeah, I do have to point out, you mentioned Bush and boobs. There is full frontal male nudity as well, guys. If that's your thing.
It seemed like it. I don't know.
If you want that on your checklist, it's there.
Did you say that was in the opening, like, 5 minutes?
It's in the opening scene, yeah.
In those opening credits, which is determined to give you...
Yeah, I'm not talking about
the... They knew how to draw you in. They just couldn't, like, deliver the rest
of it. I'm not talking about the penis hot potato. I'm talking about the beginning. Yeah. No, I thought this movie was just awful. It was nothing that I expected. I really was excited when I was like, oh, melting bums. Yes, this could be great. Nope, nothing. Sometimes your expectations need to be met. Sometimes they just need to be met. This was that case. It was a clusterfuck. It was absolutely a cluster.
If I could put a quote on the poster of this movie, it would be the oil rig sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be legit. Can we add that segment to the show? Like, all right, that's what's your tagline, your made-up tagline for this movie after we've watched it? That'd be good.
Like, normally when we watch a movie, we're all joking and laughing. We were dead silent for a good hour, 15 minutes of this movie.
Mm-hmm. I was like, trying to think of jokes, too. It's like, what can I...
Right, we're going to say... something.
I was just like, I'm done watching this. I want to turn this off. If I was home alone, I would be like, fuck this. I'm like... gonna listen to radio or something. I'm gonna draw.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you wouldn't rather be coloring.
We could be coloring. We could be coloring.
If I wasn't here with you guys, I would not remember one thing I liked about this movie. I would just have tried to forgotten it and moved on.
This is what I'm curious about then. In the weeks to come, is this going to be one that we refer back to as like, you know, this is just one that's like sticking in the, I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
I have to come back and revisit.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep this off.
But yeah, until then, I can't recommend it.
I know, right? I'm just letting the air breathe. It's a hard one. I think I mean, Colin nailed it when he said like the. And I'm trying to think back now that you mentioned it. It's like, did I enjoy the experience? And Holly was right. For the good hour in the middle there, we were all just silent, watching what was going on the screen, and that part was not enjoyable. Like, there's some stuff where it's just like, ugh, kind of made me cringe a little bit. Mm-hmm. There are scenes that I do like. When it's stuck with the melting bums drink alcohol and melt,
yeah,
I'm in.
Two thumbs
like,
up.
I love yes. that. Give me more of that. The whole, the hour in the middle with the, you know, with Bronson and the
raping.
The raping and everything. I'm just like, it really just, yeah, it's not enjoyable to watch that. I mean, I want more neon melting and everything. But it's also hard because I want to watch, I'm going to go through and watch every special feature on this Blu-ray to figure it, I want to see the making of this. I want to know what they were thinking. Like, I'm going to run down the list of everything on this and just watch it. But it doesn't have enough good parts that come together because it's disconnected. This movie, there's not, the story is haphazard and just all over the place. There's not enough to combine to recommend this movie, I don't think. I mean, take your chances with this one. There are certain parts that are enjoyable, but as a whole...
You can probably find those on YouTube.
I mean, I think you could. I think you could. But again, this goes under the...
That might be the short that it's based on.
But maybe the short is like... That's
maybe.
You should have stuck with that. Maybe that was just all melting bums.
Watch the short and let
us
know.
Yeah. I will find out. But I will... Yeah, but I don't think I can recommend it to...
Well, you guys said that it's a cult classic. I'm anxious if any of our listeners consider this a cult classic.
Or
I want to hear why.
They just put that on boxes so you'll be like, ooh, cult classic.
No,
let's
but
try
no,
it.
But you've heard of it. I know you've heard of it. Your friend loves it. Mm-hmm. If anyone likes, I want to hear why. I really do.
Well, see, I'm curious because even as Sean's sitting there saying like, you know, it's like, I want to see the extra features and understand why they were doing it. I'm like, you're going down the road to like, you ever had those movies that the first time you watch them, you hate the fucking thing?
I mean, maybe.
Then somehow you come around to like the other side and you're like, I did not like that movie when I first saw it. And now I'm like, I can't.
You're
can't
at the beginning
turn
of,
away from it.
Right,
you know?
It's a possibility.
You're at the beginning of the rabbit hole.
That's how that shit happens, though. I think you watch it and you go like, you know, I didn't like that. Why didn't I like that? I got to find out why I didn't like that. I got to watch all this stuff about it. And then you're like, you know, crazy
Colin's
amounts of stuff about it.
Personal
experience. Oh, yeah, I've done that with movies. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been stuff. I mean, like, I know I keep going back to Dario Argento's Inferno. Mm. That's a movie that infuriates you. Like, on first watch,
yeah,
that is like.
I've seen it 2-3 times.
Right there. I've seen it 2 or 3 times. But you don't watch a movie again that you hate.
It's that fourth time that's going to get you.
But it's only because Argento fucks with you with Suspiria, right? You're like, the Three Mothers trilogy, or whatever the fuck. So then you're like, well, I gotta see Inferno. I gotta see Mother of Tears.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this sucked, and this one sucked. Like, oh, I will never try to watch Mother of Tears again. I just tried to do Inferno
I've done Mother of
like,
Tears.
Like, as an adult. I saw Inferno as a child.
I liked it better the second time.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, see, this is what happens.
So just like Argento.
We'll have to come back to... No, like, legitimately, there were things that the first time you're, like, watching them as a movie, and there's all of these, like... Things that you expect from a movie, and they're the fact that they're violating the rules, you hate it. And later on in life, or you know, 5 years from now, you're like, you know, I remember this movie called Street Trash, and it stands out because it violated those rules. It's the one movie that like just said, I'm gonna fucking, you know, not adhere to logic in this situation.
Did it better.
So next
that's
week,
I'm like, because you like trauma movies, I'm surprised that like if you would have seen this. When you were younger, I wonder.
No, stories. Or at least my favorites, Toxic Avenger, Nukem High. Those have stories. Those have characters. They have story beats. You can follow it. It's easy.
Okay, so next week we got to check back in with Sean and see if he's fallen down
the
rabbit hole.
We're going to have to give him like a year. I think this is like, come back in a year.
I mean,
like,
yeah, give me some time.
Trash, no. Yeah, because initially you go like, I hate it.
Although, I mean, I'll watch everything because I got to give this back to my buddy. But it's going to have to marinate in there a little bit.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Just wash.
Well, I bet when you get home and get free time, you're like, I don't want to do this.
I mean, maybe I'm just like,
have so much
this.
Time to myself. I'm sure you should watch Homeland or something.
I'll just go back to the People versus O.J. Simpson. There you go.
Yeah. All right, so that's Street Trash for the Saturday Night Freak Show. Next week, we're watching Holly's pick.
Yes!
What are we watching?
I got a treat for you guys. We're watching a little mockumentary called What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, all right. That sounds very fantastic.
Yes! Yeah.
Vampires.
Vampires.
Jeez. From the director of Thor Ragnarok.
True, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, well, that makes me worry for Thor Ragnarok. It's like they want more comedy.
What did they do? They did Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.